Amen. It's possible, church, that you're a Christian, but you're very inward in how you look at the world. And you allow yourself to not to see people, but you judge. You don't really see how people are people, and you can connect to them and how they need God and how we can all share something that God has brought to our direction. And if we don't get that right, something dies in our soul. We don't connect to people. We put labels out there, whether they're labels of race, labels of gender, and all kinds of labels can fly and get in the way of us just connecting the way God wants us to. We've been talking about serving and really trying to reach out to people and serving in a community and serving in the church. But that will not happen simply because you want to serve until you begin to see people as people and see them the way God sees them. That's when you begin to understand how this functions. So to start with, let's start with here. Change happens when we submit to God. James 4 verse 9 through 10 says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. If you don't let go of seeing people as objects, you're going to get stuck. You will not be able to do what God wants us to do or what He wants you to do. It takes you to grieve that stuff. There's a reason we are where we are. Somewhere in our lives, we've labeled, stacked, and become so inward that we're not seeing what God wants to do. And so the Bible begins by saying grieve. Grieving is letting go of stuff. Grieving, you cry and say, I'm done with that stuff. You mourn and say, you know what? I'm ready to start afresh. That's what it's all about. Crying and mourning is not a bad thing. It actually washes your soul of all the pain you've been holding on and letting go. I know that whenever you do that well, you can start afresh. That's what it's talking about. Letting go of that stuff. Then it says, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. You cannot say, I am changing and going back to your old self. You let go of stuff, you humble yourself and start anew. Does that make sense? Many people say, I want to change. I say, wait a minute, but what are you changing to? You keep going back to your old stuff. It's not just I am changing. It's a good idea to change. It's what is the new that I have to come to. And that's a mindset that needs to happen. Your mindset needs to change. But we'll get into that in a short while. Let's start here. This is on. Let's make sure we're going the right direction. Okay, here we are. Hebrews 3:13 says, you must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. I have a quote here that says, when you're in the box, I'm self-deceived in the box. I don't see clearly. I'm blind to truth about myself and others. It's very difficult to see yourself clearly if you don't have relationships. It's hard. The first relationship you want to have is with God. But second, you want some good relationships around you that can mirror you sometimes and say, you know what, I think you're going the wrong direction. Does that make sense? And the Bible says here that you must warn each other. That's why you need that relationship, to help each other. Say, wait a minute, we might be going the wrong way. And the quote here simply says, if you're in the box, you don't see clearly. In fact, the way you're in the box is you label, you complain, you put labels on everyone. And it's very easy to be hardened by sin. That's what it talks about. It's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. It's very easy to be hardened and deceived by your own view of life and not check it with, what does God say? And you know, people want to talk about relative truths. I say, wait a minute. There's only one truth, and that's the truth of God. You know, it's like saying there's a two of you. I'm like, no, there's only one of you. That argument is an argument of escape. But if you really want to face reality, you got to say, wait a minute. If you don't deal with who you are and how you're seeing the world, you may have walked away from how God sees you and how God sees the world, and you've created your own world, and that begins to destroy what we're doing and what God wants you to do. So is it possible that you're in a box and you're not seeing it? And when you're in a box, you think everybody else is, but you're actually labeling them. And you don't see them as people. You can't connect to them. You ignore them. As we saw in the clip, poor people are a headache for you. How do you feel when you see poor people? Do you avoid them? Do you change the streets? I mean, how do you feel when you see sick people? Do you want to pray for them, go there and see them? Or are you just afraid? How do you feel about these things? Let's start here. What does your mindset reveal about you? Okay, Matthew 9. We're going to spend here the whole time. Matthew 9, verse 1 through 3. Jesus climbed into the boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law say to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus comes, and as usual, he's in the synagogue talking to people. These are people that believed in God, in the religious people. He talks, so they bring, he's talking to them, but then this man brings his friend who's paralyzed, and he forgives his sins. And they say, "Wait a minute, that's blasphemy." Now, same environment, talking about God, but look at the reaction. The Bible says here that Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law say to themselves, "That's blasphemy." Seeing the same issue from different angles. One guy's in the box, and that's not Jesus. The Pharisee says, "That's blasphemy." He doesn't see the hope that has been given to this man that was in sin. Is it possible that all you see is what's wrong? Is it possible that that's what you see in life? What's wrong with your house? What's wrong with your job? What's wrong with... And those are realities. But if you choose to see what God is doing, you can rise above it. If you choose to see what God is doing, you can rise above it in that environment. It's very possible that you've gone so much away that you don't even see anything good about life. This is a scary place to be because you get hemmed in. Nothing is possible in your life. You can't see the value of serving people. You have a reason why you should never touch anyone. Why? Because in your heart of hearts, somewhere within you, you see problems. You don't see what God is doing. There are people in your neighborhood that will only hear from you because you're the one that goes to church, and you're the one who will have to tell them about God sometimes. You want to tell them about your forgiveness and how God has changed that around. There are people that, you know what, that they see you and the way you treat them and says, "What's the difference? If you believe in God, you should be treating me a bit different." Maybe they're the most troubled people or the troublesome people in the office. How do you treat them? See, this stuff reveals who we really are. What does your mindset reveal about you? How do you treat the guys that come around borrowing money and all that stuff? I remember being on a gas station, and the guy pops up, and he's trying to say, "Can you give me some money?" And initially, I'm really bucking myself, putting my back next to the wall to make sure I'm safe. And I'm thinking, why am I afraid? Why am I afraid? He's just asking for money, but, or maybe he's going to do something with it. I say, "What did he tell me?" He said, "I'm hungry, and I need food. I'm going to give him for food." If he goes and buys something else, that's not my story. He needed food, and I said, "You want food? That's the story you gave me. Here we go." I can't give him because you're going to buy something else. You don't know that for sure. Because you will not be there. So let's stop putting reasons out so that we cannot serve people and just stop reaching out to people. And just say, "Oh, he's this, he's that, he's that. I can't talk to him because he's this." Oh no, Jesus talked to everyone. Jesus talked to everyone. He was wise about it, but he talked to everyone. And that's the issue, is what does it reveal about you? What does your mindset, what is your marriage like? What does that reveal in your mindset? Have you put each other in a box and says, "This is my wife, I know who, she's my wife of 70 years, I know how she behaves, and there's nothing she can change." You are wrong. "This is my husband of 70 years, and I know how they behave." You are wrong. People change all the time. Children, you may say, "This is my dad, this is my mom, I know how they behave, I know, I figured them out." Oh no, they're changing all the time. They're changing all the time. It is you who's in the box, you're not seeing it. Does that make sense? People, we can say, "This is church, I know how it is." Church is growing and transformed by the grace of God. Don't put yourself in the box and get out and serve, amen? So that's what's going on here. What does your mindset reveal about you? You want to help. Do you have a reason to always say, "I can't do it, I can't do it"? That can be your mindset. That was the mindset of the Pharisee. He blamed and says, that's blasphemy. Forgiveness was being given. Instead, he was saying blasphemy coming out. You see, the reason I talk about mindset closely is your mindset here drives your behavior. We're seeing your behavior, but it's your mindset that we got to get to. Your mindset, it's something, is the way you think. But it's not just enough to say a mindset has changed. It's important that you not only change your mindset, but you also change your conviction. There are many things you think differently about, but you've never changed. There are many things you think differently about, but like I have stopped food. If I eat, I bloat quickly. But sometimes I find myself snacking on the same food that makes me bloat. I'm like, why am I doing that? I have not come to a conviction that this thing is going to take me out. So lately, I see it and I say, oh, you know this is not good for you. I walk back because I need to get a bottle of water somewhere. But that's been a battle I have to do. So just changing your mind is not enough. You got to change your conviction. Colossians 3:2. Think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. Your mindset is, if you're heaven bound in the way you think about God, then you will talk to people very differently. If you're heaven bound, you see people as who need, they need to go to heaven as well. You don't put labels on them. You think very differently about that. They say, no, I'm thinking about heaven. You know, if you think about heaven, does it matter what happens in the next 10 years? The way I say it is, if I live to be 80 or 82, what I always hope that I'll live to be 82, and then die, that's nothing compared to eternity. 82 years compared to eternity? Are you kidding me? I can take that any day. Does that make sense? Now, God help me whenever that happens. But think about it. If you think heavenward, everything else is little. We can resolve it. Any pain, we can resolve it. Any issue, we can resolve it. Why? Because we are heaven bound. But when we think so much about today, we think, oh my goodness, today was not a good day. Today is one day in whatever, in so many other days you would leave. Why would you get so beaten down in this day? Oh, this year is not a good year. In so many other years you will leave. I'm not belittling your pain. I am saying get perspective. Get perspective about how to deal with difficult times. Be heaven bound, even in difficult moments, stick with God and you will be able to rise above that time. I'm not belittling your pain or your issues. So your mindset is very important. If you focus on those small things and not see heaven and God, what happens is slowly but surely you permanently stick in this small space. And then it's personalized, and then it permits everything you touch. But it was a small thing that controlled your life right after that. Watch your mindset and heart. So Matthew 9:4-6, so Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? I like that question. Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? It's not just your thought, it's also your heart. The condition of how you're feeling. That's why I say you cannot just change your mindset. You got to change how you feel as well. You can't just say, oh, I've changed my mind. But how do you really feel about these issues? Are you really getting out of the mindset? Are you really transforming? Just changing your mind doesn't change how you go, how you change your character. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sin. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Turned around and said, you know what? Why are you having these thoughts, evil thoughts in your mind and in your heart? The reason change is so difficult is most people say, I agree with it, but your heart has not moved. You don't have the conviction of, this is what I want to do. It's very different. Sometimes I know I need to get up and go to a certain place. I know that, but my heart is saying, I don't want to wake up. I wish I can just roll over for the next 2 hours and I'll be okay. I said, well, you can't do that. Someone needs to go to school at a certain time. You need to get up and go. You can't just say, I think that's not a good idea. You know, I know I should wake up, but I don't feel like that. That battle can keep you there for a while. For some of us, that battle can keep us there for a year. For some of us, that can keep us there for 5 minutes. For some of us, an hour. That battle is real for most people. It's not that you know. Does your heart have the conviction to say, this is the right thing?
When I want to watch a game, it's different. I know, but I have the conviction it needs to happen. I'm going to move. What time? What time? I need to be there. It's different.
I talk about this because I believe that the biggest issues that we think, I've read the Bible. Yes, you agree with the Bible, but are you convicted to say, this is what it needs to be like?
It's not good to agree with the Bible. We have to have a conviction around it that says, here's where we must go. And I'm excited to go this way because I know it's God's will. When we do that, we're transformed. When we do that, our marriages are transformed. Our parenting is transformed. Our relationships are transformed. When we don't do that, we label each other. We put each other in the box. And nothing changes.
And so it's very possible to be a Christian that has labeled people, that agrees that this is the right thing to do. But our hearts have never come to a place of conviction that this is different. And that is true with sin. You can know that this is sin until you get conviction, and that's the wrong thing. That's when you turn around. And that's why Jesus was saying, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? They have thoughts, but as well, their hearts are not the right place. And he showed to them, listen, I can forgive them and I can have them walk. Does that make sense? God can do anything. God can do anything. It is us that limit him in how we think. We take all reasons on this universe and try to put it on God. God is the source of the universe. He made it. Why would you box him in a universe? He's above everything. He's before time. So there's nothing you can box him in, really. He's the source of everything. Understand that, and then you begin trusting God. So what's your mindset and your heart? What does that reveal? Are you joyful? Are you patient? What does it reveal? Your mindset influences your behavior. Now let's go on to this one. So Matthew 9, still 7:11. And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowds as they saw what this happened. And they praised God for sending a man with such great authority. So think about it. There's a group of people with negative thoughts, but now the other people are saying, this is awesome. This is great. And they're praising God. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Of course, because he's heard what's going on. When you see what's going on, you're going to say, surely I want to go with this guy here. Does that make sense? Later on, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. This party was of disreputable people, my friend. He called them, come on in, let's hang out. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Church, is it possible that you don't tell anyone about God? Because probably you've judged them so harshly. I don't know if you call them scum. I'm not going to get into that politics. You got to figure that out. I don't know what you call them. But is it possible that you've just judged your neighbors, judged your workmates, judged people in the... We judge by what? We judge by how people look. We judge by what they drive. We judge by how they respond to us. We judge by where they live. We judge by economics. Oh, we judge by race. We do. He's not going to listen to me because blah, 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 blah. You fill in the blanks.
And it's all you that is putting that on them. You've never talked to them. You don't know them. But now all of a sudden, they're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. They're smoking, doing this, they're doing that.
This is what was going on here.
We can read about these people and think, oh my goodness, these people. No, it's us. It's me.
I have to be very careful about how I see people. Whether they're different, older, younger, different persuasion, whether it's gender, whatever it is. I have to say, listen, I see them the way God sees them. The Bible says he sees them as harassed and helpless. In other words, he has a compassion. He sees people.
We see labels sometimes. That's all we see. So it stops us from being effective. We're not able to go past our labels and all the things we put up on people. Why? Because our mindset is very much, why is he eating with this scum? Now, you have to remember, these people were bad people. They sometimes took more tax than they should. But Jesus still reached out to them.
In other words, he saw what God could do with that and change that. When we don't understand God that way, we hide sin. When we don't understand God this way, we begin to really avoid people we think they'll tell us truth and go to certain people. And that doesn't help you. We all should be helping each other. But the point here is this: your mindset influences your behavior. It's the reason why sometimes you have a hard time just telling people, anybody, about God. It's the reason why you have a hard time having people come in your house, people who don't look like you. Because you've decided in your mind, based on history and all that stuff, well, this is what it's going to be. I said, but you're here now. You're here now. Now you've got to make a difference. You've got to make a difference. I have to make a difference. We cannot let history determine everything. We've got to make a difference on how we reach out to one another. Amen? We cannot be Pharisees. On Sunday, talk about God. On Tuesday, Monday, label everybody. It can't be like that. We got to be able to see the way he saw them. He says, I'm going to talk to you about God. So what does your behavior say? This is very personal to myself. I have to ask myself, so what does that say about me? What does it say about you? What's your lifestyle like? Do you practice your faith in a way that really shows God is part of who you claiming to be? Judging and condescending attitudes makes us ineffective. Let's talk about this. In Matthew 9, verse 1 through 10, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. That's true, right? We go for checkups sometimes, but you don't really need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn from the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So once he said, they said to him, why is he sitting with scums? And then he says, wait a minute. Jesus heard this. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. It's important to understand that principle. We all need God. But the problem of being in a box, you don't see that. You don't see the need of help. Sometimes we want to play, it's like when you're having a toothache. You really go, the first time you have a pain, a little bit of pain, you don't want to go, right? Well, who wants to go the first time they just had a pinch of, they were eating ice cream, they had pain? Nobody goes to the dentist at that point. Ah, we'll wait another time. But really, that was the warning sign that, okay, this teeth is going down. And that can start, in some places, it takes 6 years before your teeth really kicks in. But 6 years of decay has been happening before finally you cannot sleep and I'm going to see the doctor, dentist tomorrow. We don't want to do that. Sick people need to see a doctor. We all need the doctor. And doctor is Jesus. Amen? We can go to Jesus. He will help us out and he'll help us out, but he was trying to help them see, you know what, everybody needs God. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. Sometimes we think too much of how we are walking hard, how we are suffering, and how this is hard. We don't realize there's a lot of grace we've been given just to be alive. You know, sometimes you're thinking, my week has been hard, I've been going through this, I've been going through that. You don't realize how much grace you've been given. Last week, I was sick for a while, and I was just home for about 7 days. That's very hard for me. I like to be up and about doing something, like 7 days just sitting around and trying to figure out. But as I watched the news and I saw what people are going through, and I said, oh my goodness, I have so much grace. Nobody's shooting at me. There's no cyclone that's taken my house, my children. One guy had everybody die. He was the only guy remaining. And I said, you know, I may have some flu, but nah, it's all right. We can leave to see another day. I can exchange stories with Todd and say, Todd, how are you feeling over there? I said, I'm coming on good there. We can have conversation around that. But that's nothing compared to what these people are going through. I mean, I saw kids going through that and having fun swimming in the cyclone water. I'm like, whoa, they have a different perspective. And I know you have problems, but can you come out and see God in that issue? See God in that situation. Ask God, what is he teaching you? And come to a place, go to the doctor who will help you to come around. Amen? The spiritual doctor. So it's not just the suffering, it's the mercy. I mean, when is the last time you showed mercy? Are you merciful? When people talk about their pain, do you listen and want to understand them and help them, or do you just judge them?
I mean, it's easy to judge people on the street. They're crackheads. They're this. That's why they're going through this.
Wait a minute. Do you have mercy for them? Can we talk to them?
You know, the thing that's struggling in the world today is we're losing mercy. Great, that spot is dying. When you start going through something, the first thing that comes out is a cell phone. People don't kind of help you. They just cell phone, then call 911 later.
And I think we got to be careful that we don't become a heartless church or heartless people. We've got to reach out for people. You don't see someone, do you call them and say, hey, how you doing, man? Just reaching out for you to see if you're okay. That's part of showing mercy. Not just sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Is it possible that you've come to a place where you feel like, I'm righteous, I don't need any help?
It's possible you come to that place where, I'm okay, I don't need any help. I've been around a long time, I don't need any help. I've been married a long time, I don't need any help. And there are many reasons we put out there. They're too old to understand. They're too young not to understand. They're too middle-aged not to understand. We can play all that phenomena every way around until we say, they don't understand, they don't understand. God understands, and we use the Bible for conversation. We use the Bible for conversation. We don't use our own wisdom. We need the Bible for conversation so we can go forward. Does that make sense? You get that down, we can have real conversations and we will all grow and God's name is glorified.
So I want to challenge us a little bit today and ask you this question again. Have you been judging or condescending? You can be condescending for different reasons. You know, I lived in many places by the grace of God and I've really caught myself condescending. I go to different cultures, I'm like, wow, how was that? How did they do that? Then 1 year in living that place, I'm like, well, I was really in the box over there. Moved to another place. Wow, how did they do that? What? Box over there. So you have to be open to what God is doing in your life. If you're judging and condescending, you will not be effective. Not in your home, not in your workplace, not at any place. You will not be effective.
Not just helping people to know God, just life in general, you will not be effective. You'll have very few friends because you close your circle pretty quick. It's not about just helping anyone know God. It's just about life in general. You will have issues.
Church, as we close out on this issue of serving, it's
the end of talking about, I'm not going to talk about it a lot. I'm going to move on to another subject next month.
But I want to say this to us, that we need to really engage fully in our family groups.
That we need to engage fully with the relationships with God and with one another. Build some friendships. Amen. And that we need to engage fully in just how we can serve the community and help people know who God is. Does that make sense? Now, do that not because of shame. Do that because of the grace of God. Do that because you're no different. And do that because you have a conviction. Do that because you realize every day is a gift from God. Not because you're perfect. Do that because repentance is something we do all year round. Every day, we always repent. And do that because you've come to a place of not just agreeing, but of conviction that God wants us to do what is best. Amen?
Next Sunday, we'll have a split class. The women will be here in the morning, and the men will be, I believe, in the band room. Have a great time.